Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Homeris and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in a casual setting for conversation around God's Word, the Bible. Join us now for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.
Well, welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz. And it's so nice having you join us as our country has just celebrated Independence Day. Hi, this is Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. And we hope you had a very blessed celebration, whether it was watching the skies lit up with various firework displays, or if you were watching TV, watching marching bands and listening to the music, or just saying a thank you prayer to the Lord for how he's blessed our country. And with us, as we said, is Pastor Joe Jackowitz. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. It's great to be with you again on yet another opportunity to study God's Word.
Yes. We're taking a little detour in our talk today to focus on our country commemorating our nation's anniversary. But something that we never veer from is looking at any subject from a biblical perspective, that is, from God's point of view, because that is reality.
Yes, that's always the most important thing. For instance, one thing that we often hear on this day is music to honor our country, especially the marches and patriotic songs. Now, one of those songs that's widely heard is God Bless America. Pastor Joe, could you speak on what the Bible has to say about God's blessings on a nation?
Well, I think God's blessings are running out. We've enjoyed them for 250 years, but now I think more and more we're seeing the judgment of God upon our nation, because the Bible teaches that a nation that honors God's laws reaps God's blessing, reaps the benefit of obedience. History shows that those nations that don't honor God and his laws are often destroyed from within and destroyed by God pouring out his judgment in many different ways and means upon that nation. We have a lot of nations that have actually gone out of existence because God's judgment was so great that the nation eventually was destroyed. And Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Let me give you an example, the perfect example of how sin is a reproach to any nation is the example of Israel. No other nation on earth will ever have the position that Israel has in God's grand plan, his purpose. It would be a mistake to claim many of the specific promises that God made to Israel because they were for a specific time and purpose. But many of the general principles found in Scripture are applicable to everyone. We can learn from Israel's history and from Israel's example what generally to expect when nations honor the Lord and what generally to expect when they rebel against his commands. Many nations of antiquity are non-existent, having brought God's judgment upon themselves because of their sin. For example, Edom and Assyria and Sodom and Gomorrah and Babylon as a nation were all wiped out according to the prophets for their evil ways and their rebellion against God for their idolatry. There remain no representatives, for example, of the Hittites or the Moabites or the Philistines, and it's because of their rebellion against the Lord, their idolatry that they committed persistently over centuries. And when that takes place, very often a nation will go out of existence under the judgment of God. The same thing is true with a civilization like the Romans, which dominated the political landscape for 1,000 years, and the Medes and the Persians and the Greek culture. Though if those nations are still in existence, they're very weak. And that is because of God's judgment upon them because of their sin. And so God gives us his laws for our own good. He created us to fellowship with him and walk in righteousness. When we do that, we are living within the healthy boundaries he established and are protected from much of the heartache and catastrophe Satan devises, whether it be individually or as a nation. But when a nation turns away from the true God, the God of the Bible, and becomes its own God, the Lord removes his protective hand and allows that nation to experience what God describes in Romans chapter 1, the great pouring out of his judgment and wrath, the diminishing of political and financial blessing. And Romans, again, in chapter 1, shows us the progression of people and nations that have defied God and defined morality. Unbridled lust and idolatry are all part of God's judgment on a nation that has turned away from him. God will give that nation, will give that people over to the great depths of their depravity and their wickedness if they resist God's overtures and his beckoning to repent. The good news is that God knows those who are his and promises to reward them even when all others have turned away. God has preserved his 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. That is, in every nation, in every generation, there is a remnant of believers chosen by grace who will stay faithful to God. But when a nation turns away from God, individuals within that nation can still follow him and should still follow him and know that their names are written in God's book of remembrance, which we read about in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 through 18, which reads, quote, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them." So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. "They shall be mine," says the Lord of hosts, "on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." And so, in answer to your question, Rich, yes, God blesses a nation that stays within the boundaries of respecting him and, generally speaking, following his laws and not enacting laws that are contrary to the scriptures and to God's will as revealed in the scriptures.
Yes.
Now, I was just going to ask you about that because we in the United States have been so blessed, as you're talking about, with so many freedoms, such as the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. But it does seem like our liberties over time can erode away as we just simply take for granted and no longer appreciate them, or even worse, drift away from them, as you're talking about, Pastor Joe. The freedoms that we have compared to some of the rest of the world or throughout history have been so great. Pastor Joe, could you talk a little more about what the Bible tells us about that, that like the children of Israel in the Bible, when they turned away from God, God turned away from them?
Well, yes. The Bible itself says that in Psalm 23:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage." So a nation can follow the Lord, not only Israel, but any Gentile or secular nation can follow the Lord in terms of respecting who God is, recognizing the God of the Bible as the true God, as our own nation did when we were first started. We were a quote-unquote Christian nation. That is, our political leaders had special reverence for the scriptures. Our political leaders recognized that it was the God of the Bible who created all things and who providentially allowed us to break away from Great Britain and establish our own nation. Even though we had much tolerance for other religions and for our citizens to worship whoever they wanted to, whatever religion they wanted to, yet our founding fathers enacted laws that would support and give preference to the principles of scripture in our political life. Like I said, Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage." The psalmist here is speaking of the nation of Israel. And God chose Israel as the nation through which he would bring his promised Messiah. He promised to provide for and to bless and protect the Israelites if they followed him. But the Old Testament gives us heartbreaking details of what happened when they turned away from him. In Ezekiel 20:8, it says, but they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. And so Israel's history shows us some of the consequences that can befall a nation when its people turn away from God. Not only Israel, which is the best example of that, if the Israelites honored the Lord, destroyed idol temples, and kept God's commandments, the Lord was actively involved in their defense. He blessed them. And when other nations fought against them, God would protect them. Exodus chapter 14 is the first example of the Lord as defender for the newly formed nation of Israel. As Moses led the people out of Egypt, Pharaoh and his armies raced after them. The Israelites fled. The people were terrified and began to doubt whether Moses knew what he was doing. But then Moses answered the people, "Don't be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. And the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still," God says. And what followed was the miraculous parting of the Red Sea, and God brought the people through the Red Sea safely to the other side. He protected his people because the people recognized God. They put away their idols. They did not displease him. It doesn't mean that they were all true believers, but at least they conformed outwardly to the standards and the principles of the law that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, in contrast to this miraculous intervention in the parting of the Red Sea and God saving the Israelites from the Egyptians, the Bible gives us examples of God refusing to intervene when destruction came upon Israel because of their sin. 2 Kings, beginning in chapter 24, details the end of God's blessing on Israel. God's chosen people had defied the Lord. They built idolatrous temples. They filled their lives with fornication, murder, and adultery. They had desecrated the temple and ignored the law for generations. Well, eventually that will catch up to you. That happens to be a biblical principle, which is you reap what you sow. In spite of the fact that God sent prophets to call the Jews to repentance, but they wouldn't listen. And often they killed those prophets. And when they refused to listen, he sent judgment in the form of invaders who took them captive and destroyed their cities, took them away into captivity like Babylon did and Assyria did. And so the once great nation had been brought low and lost the blessings of God that God desired to give to Israel. But the general principle we learn from this is that sin brings negative consequences. Galatians 6:7 is God's warning to individuals and to nations that he will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, whatever a nation sows, that is what they will also reap. So we learn from this that the Lord delights in prospering his people, his loyal servants. Even a nation that recognizes God and enacts laws that honors God's word and the principles of his word.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz, and we'll return to our program in just a moment, so don't go away. There's much more to come. Pastor Joe is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. Now, perhaps you've got a question you would like to ask Pastor Joe or a comment you would like us to share on an upcoming episode of Bible Talk. Well, you can do just that by simply emailing us. Here's the email address, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Again, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also mail in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply tap on the Contact Us tab on our website, firstloveradio.org, and ask your question there. Be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this information at the end of our program, but for now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Another verse that comes to mind is that one in the book of Luke that says essentially, whoever has been given much, much will be required of him.
Yes, that's Luke 12:48. The exact verse says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
So it seems that since God has blessed us with being here where we can live in and use these freedoms day in and day out, he wouldn't be pleased with us if we don't value them and do what we can to preserve them and to use them. Would you say that's true?
Well, what we're really talking about here, Bobby, is the principle of stewardship. So here's the point. In the United States, God has gifted us with freedom, liberties, and opportunities that most people throughout history, including today, never had. We've never had the freedom and liberties and opportunities that we have in the United States and in the West in general, like we've had the last couple of hundred years. But as Christians, we are stewards of these freedoms, liberties, and opportunities, and we have to use them for the glory of God, or God will hold us accountable for neglecting these opportunities as well as the gifts he has given us to bear fruit for the glory of God. Even in these end times where there's great moral decline and decay, the door is still open. The missionary call is still out there. The Great Commission still goes forth for Christians to share the gospel with the lost and to use their resources to proclaim the gospel through the printed page, through sharing it verbally, and through distributing Bibles and many other ways. But what are we doing? What are you and I doing to share the gospel with the lost while this door is still open, while we still have the liberties, while it is still lawful to proclaim our faith in our culture?
As we look at all these years as a nation and the general attitudes of the pilgrims as they started out so thankful for our freedoms, what would you say that the spiritual climate of our nation actually is today?
Well, the days are evil. That's the way the Bible describes them. Even every age since the fall of Adam has been dominated by evil. But that doesn't mean it won't become more blatant and pervasive and grotesque and even institutionalized as time goes by. Scripture is clear that over time, evil men will grow worse and worse. Especially in the end times, things are going to get worse and worse. And there will be a time where it won't reverse itself. Things will just keep getting worse, and it will not be reset where revival will come in and things will get better. And that's a very sad situation. That's a very terrible situation that I'm describing. It isn't particularly surprising. The trajectory was set long ago. God prophesied in the Bible that the things that we're seeing today would take place. What has been surprising is how the moral slide has accelerated in recent years in the United States, and how hostility towards Christians has become so overt in such a short time that it boggles the mind. Usually a culture changes slowly. The change sometimes is barely perceptible. Not so now. The recent seismic ruptures in our society have been very swift and catastrophic. Many, many people fear that the current moral crisis will someday lead to God's judgment. I believe we're already there. We're past that. All of that's in the past. What we're seeing happening now is God's judgment. Ultimately, the culture's way of thinking becomes so corrupt, there's no way back to truth and goodness. And we see the reprobate mind in full bloom today, even getting worse and worse by the day and by the week in the government and in corporations and in the media, in education, and in the popular culture. And as a result, Christians are reeling. They're reeling. And we are really feeling pressures as believers we've never before experienced, and facing mockery and abuse simply because of what we believe, our gospel and our values and our priorities, our doctrine, even our entire lives are comprehensively and irreversibly at odds with the world. The Lord Jesus already told us, in the world you will receive tribulation. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. There will never be agreement between the believer and the world. And as challenging as the situation is, it can get worse. It will get worse. I believe the hostility towards Christians in the West will give way to full-blown persecution in the not-too-distant future. A decade ago, many Christians would have laughed at such a suggestion, but no one's laughing now, are they? Just turn on your TV and see what's going on and see all the increasing persecution against Christians and against churches and pastors who are being jailed just for having their worship services. God is not surprised by this. There's no plan B with God. God isn't taken by surprise by the moral slide we're seeing, nor has his purposes been thwarted by it. He reigns sovereign over everything, from the smallest details of individual lives to the monumental acts of rebellion and sin of a nation. While he indeed is offended by sin, he's not a victim of sin. He's not a helpless bystander. He is acting in patience and having mercy upon many, many people. Meanwhile, he is storing up wrath against the day of wrath. He's not sweeping sin under the rug. No, he's taking note of every single sin of word, thought, and deed. And ultimately, his righteous judgment will be poured out against this sin on Judgment Day. But we can rejoice both in his mercy and in his knowledge that he will someday make things right, no matter how much we suffer as Christians, injustice and unfairness. But we can be kept at peace with God and men by the power of the Holy Spirit, even though the world may be crumbling under our feet, moral decay may be swiftly increasing. Believers have God's promises that God's love will never be taken from us, that we have his Spirit and no one will take the Spirit from us. The Spirit will provide the comfort and peace and grace and strength and spiritual help we need to endure to the end. But we also have to stay focused on Jesus Christ and the Great Commission. We must focus our faith on Christ and not stop trusting Christ to keep us and guard us from all of these immoral growth spurts that are taking place in our culture. And as far as the Great Commission is concerned, he has called us to live out the gospel and proclaim the gospel in this terrible immoral society. And while Romans 1 does offer a bleak diagnosis of the world's lost condition, it also assures us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that we must preach it without being ashamed in these end times. External circumstances have no real power over us. Rather than being gripped and distracted by fear and discouragement, we should fix our eyes on Christ. We should fix our faith on Christ. We should obey Christ and trust in him. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will not disappoint us. He will not fail to keep one promise he has given us. And so the current circumstances should also create in us an increased sense of expectation. Expectation of seeing the grace of God displayed in and through his church. He still has his church in this world. We are his witnesses. We preach the word of God. We bear witness to the truth of God's being and nature and character as taught in the Bible. And so expectation of seeing many people gloriously converted as a refined, purified church fulfills its role as salt and light in a fresh, powerful way. Expectation of seeing the return of the Lord and the final consummation of our salvation. Now is not the time, my friends, for fear and shrinking back and compromising, but for trust and obedience and, yes, faith and expectation.
Amen. And as you say, Pastor Joe, it's really important, I think. We need to cling more than ever, I would think, to reading the Bible, to the Word of God, to the Lord, keeping our eyes on Him more than ever. And also, we're always called to evangelize. We're always called to share our faith because isn't it true that just down to the very last moment, the Lord will be drawing His people to Himself?
Oh, yes. We have the great parable of our Lord Jesus Christ, where we are taught that some, the parable of the hired workers, where some are hired early in the morning, some at midday, and some just before the work is over. And those who are hired at the 11th hour before work is over, they represent people who are saved in the last days and weeks and hours of their lives. And so as long as you have breath, no matter what's taking place around you in the world, in the culture, in society, however horrific it may be, as long as you're still alive and you're breathing and you can think and you can exercise faith, there is hope for you because salvation is on an individual level. So whatever situation you're in, whoever you are, your background, whatever your gender, your level of education, your financial status, the color of your skin, those things don't matter to God. God shows no discrimination. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. Look at the thief on the cross. He became a believer. He trusted in Christ approximately 6 hours before he died. And Jesus said to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. This day you will be with me in heaven. And look at the condition that the thief on the cross was in. He was nailed to a cross. He was slowly bleeding to death. He was in excruciating pain. The other thief was mocking Christ and even mocking him. The people were looking at them with derision and casting scorn on all three of them. And the thief didn't have a friend in the world, but he had a friend in Jesus who himself was dying next to him, and Jesus gave this thief his full attention. He was an outcast by the world, but not by Jesus, because this thief turned with weak faith and with desperate faith. He saw in Jesus that this is the Son of God. He can save me. He can bring me to heaven. He can forgive my sins. Everything the thief was experiencing militated against believing in Jesus to save his soul. The other thief saw Jesus as just some other person who was dying like they were, but the other thief looked past the physical suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he believed that Jesus was God. Jesus was able to save him and forgive him and bring him to heaven with him. And so anyone who is in any difficult situation, anyone who may be wrestling hard with sin and is hopeless, there is hope yet if you would turn your eyes and your hope and your faith upon Jesus Christ.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Again, that's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.